You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello, I'm Brian Hobbs, editor with the Baptist Messenger, and I'm joined with Laura Perry, who's a member at Bartlesville's First Baptist Church, and she has an incredible story and testimony that we want to share with you today. Laura, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Now, just to sort of unpack your story, I thought you could just jump right in and tell us what God did in your life and sort of about your background and just share about what the Lord did.
Okay. Well, when I was growing up, I grew up in a godly Christian home, was raised in church and raised in Christian school, and was filled with knowledge of the Bible and a lot of head knowledge, but I never really had that personal relationship with Christ, and I really don't remember being aware that I needed to. I remember hearing those things, but a lot of it just didn't make sense. And I spent a lot of my life just doing what I wanted to do, and I'm sure that's typical for kids, but when I was really young, I was struggling with my identity because I really felt, I was told I was really tomboy, but I used to have these feelings of really wanting to be a boy. I was very jealous of the boys and had these very confusing feelings. And so as I'm being told as I get older that God created me and He created me perfectly and He didn't make any mistakes, I began to get very angry at God because I thought, well, if God doesn't make any mistakes, then why do I feel this way and why do I struggle with this so much? And I think over the years it really created a lot of bitterness in my heart and a lot of frustration. And all I could see was the things that God didn't give me. I never saw all the ways that God had blessed me and all the things He had given me. And I started to really doubt my faith. And I think one of the biggest things for me when I was a teenager, I remember I didn't know why Jesus was the only way. I knew that's what I had heard growing up, but I was taking world religion classes at school and we were learning about all these other religions. And I thought, well, who's to say we're the right ones? And so I just really had no foundation for my faith. And so as I started doubting my faith a lot and I would talk to different people, I really had a hard time finding anybody that could tell me why we believed what we believed, why Jesus was the way. And I would often hear like, well, you need to go to church more. You know, you just need to pray more. And it was really just created a lot of confusion. So when I was about 15, I told God that I would never serve Him again, just was very angry over some circumstances and completely rejected the faith that I'd known growing up. And I kind of viewed God as, I tried really hard to be an atheist. I didn't want to believe in God because I didn't want to obey the Bible because I didn't really have any kind of faith. All I knew was this rule book that I was supposed to be reading. Mm-hmm. And I tried really hard to not believe in God. But I couldn't shake the things I'd been taught my whole life, and I just couldn't convince myself that God didn't exist. So I decided that God just didn't care about me. Sort of that, I'm sure you've heard of people that think that God just sort of set the world in motion and then leaves us alone. And so I began to have a very cruel view of God. And I didn't see Him as a loving father, you know, just more like a chess master or something, you know. It really just created a lot of rebellion, just began living every moment for myself and what I wanted and just all the pleasures of life. And throughout my teenage years, just, you know, almost like a Tasmanian devil with relationships and things just destroying my family and just causing so much heartache and so much pain. And I just remember not caring because all I cared about was myself. And then at one point, I think my parents were just really desperate, and they wanted so badly for me to be a Christian, for me to turn my life around, and they put me in a Christian group home in Montana. And I remember I felt forced to be a Christian because they told me that I could get through the program without being a Christian, but that it would be very difficult, and you know, I might not graduate as early, and I really wanted out of the program. And so it was kind of like a giving up. You know, I quit fighting so much. Okay, I'll be a Christian. But my heart really didn't change. I still didn't want to obey God. I still didn't really have any faith. I just had this sort of, well, okay, I'm going to follow God's rules for now. And that worked for a little while until through some various circumstances, I got really sick when I was 19 and probably nearly died. I was very, very ill. And then it seemed like God had given us the right answer. I'd had health problems all my life, and so all of a sudden, we have this doctor that's found the right answers, and we're getting healthy, and he's giving me all these vitamins, and I had better health than I'd had my entire life. So I pursued that, and that really became my God. That became my savior, in a sense. And I just threw all my energy and effort and thoughts into that. It's all I ever talked about. It's all I ever wanted. All of a sudden, one day, I started having health problems again, and I started gaining a lot of weight again. And turns out my doctor, this same doctor that I had looked to as almost like a savior, had given me the wrong medication. I gained 60 pounds within 3 months, and all that health stuff that I'd worked for was gone. And I think that really created a lot of anger. And I, in my mind at that time, it was like, okay, God, I've been living for you for the last 3 years, and now this is how I'm repaid. That's kind of how I viewed it, and really was very angry. And so when I moved out on my own about a year later, I just wanted nothing to do with God. I went to church, I think, the first week, and after that, I just didn't have any interest in it. Was never reading the Bible. The Bible was just collecting dust on my shelf. I started as I was trying desperately to fill this void in my life, because I felt so empty inside. And I started thinking that it was because I wasn't who I was truly supposed to be. We hear in the culture all the time that you need to follow your heart and you need to be true to who you are. And, you know, I had these feelings of wanting to be a boy since I was a kid, and I'd ignored it most of my life, mostly because at that time, very few people were talking about transgender. This was, almost a decade ago. There was very little talk of it back then, and people would say, it just wasn't talked about. I remember I had never heard of a girl really becoming a boy. I'd heard of men dressing in women's clothes, some vague cross-dressing things, but I'd really never heard of transgender. But I was so desperate that I thought this was what I really wanted. And it began to consume me, and it's all I could think about. So I started doing research on the internet and found a support group, and they said, oh, this is definitely who you are, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And so I found sort of the path on how to become this, and that became, again, it was like I latched onto this, and that's all I could think about, and it just consumed me. And I got on massive doses of male hormones, and began taking those regularly, and had my name legally changed. And then eventually had surgery to. I had a full double mastectomy, and as well as having the female organs removed, and had all these surgeries and things, and finally was legally male in gender as well, and had a job where no one knew me as female. No one knew I was transgender at my job. And I just remember one day about 2 years into it, I think, 2 or 3 years, I remember thinking, I am still no happier. I mean, I was in a sense, maybe at first, but it was like that all the excitement, especially after my chest surgery, is when I really got depressed. Because all the excitement that I'd built up over the last several years had faded, and it was like, I'm still just going to work and paying bills, and this is still just this life. You know, I felt a bit like a hamster on a wheel. Like, I had no purpose. You know, everything, the last 3 years I'd spent living up to this moment of this chest surgery and thinking I would finally have what I was looking for, and it just really still left me empty. And it was still so unfulfilling. I still had this void in my life, just really falling into a lot of depression. My boss even noticed, and she said, I want the old you back, that, you know, before your surgery. And it was just shocking to realize, because I really thought it would make me happy. I really thought that would be the thing that would finally make me who I was supposed to be. I spent the next couple of years, I think, really searching, and at the time, around those couple of years, I'd really gotten into talk radio. And so it started with just a love of radio, and I listened to it all the time. And it started getting, it started a real desperate quest for truth. You know, politics aside, it just started making me question what I really believed and what I thought the truth was. And I remember my mom started asking me to make her a website for her Bible study. And as she is, I was reading her lessons. And I remember reading certain things, and I was like, wait, I don't remember ever hearing that in the Bible. And it was an interest in the Bible for the first time in my life. I'd never heard anything but do's and don'ts and Bible stories. But I had never looked at it, you know, something that was alive, something that we can really learn from. And I began to get really curious. And I remember one thing in specifically, my mom was talking about in one of her lessons how there were how Joseph was a type of Christ and all these foreshadowings and things that were sort of a foretelling of Jesus Christ. And I got so excited, and I called mom and I was like, I've got to know what you're talking about. So I would started calling her every day on the way home from work. And I would ask her questions about the Bible. And I was excited for the first time in my life. And so as I'm learning more about the Bible, it's making me question my own salvation. I really hadn't even considered it in a long time. I knew that I was a Christian in name, but I had never put my faith in Christ. I really don't even think I knew what faith was. So anyway, as I'm talking to mom, I realized I had some problem come up one day. I don't know what it was. And it was something that I was telling mom about, you know, just some kind of emotional thing. And it was the first time in my life that I remember her telling me that I needed to give it to God and let him take care of it, and he would give me peace and all the. And I'm like, mom had always tried to fix things in my life. She always had answers. She always had a checklist of things we need to do to fix things. And I knew something had changed. And I knew my mom had something real that I didn't have. And so I began to really seek God, and I prayed one day and just, you know, just asked Christ into my heart, really meaning it for the first time in my life and understanding that I needed Christ to save me from my sins. And so I really, in a very childlike way, began to pursue the Lord, and he gave me such a desire to seek him and pursue him that I began listening to either like my audio Bible or preachers. I listened to Bot Radio and AFR quite a bit, just constantly pouring the truth into me. And I was so hungry, I would listen to it all day at work, and then I would come home and be listening to it, and was really desperate to hear from God. And I remember at one point, I told God, I said, God, I really want to serve you again, because God had told me when I was a teenager I'd felt called into missions before I started all the rebellion and everything, but, you know, then so I felt called to be a missionary, but then I spent, you know, well over a decade, 15 years probably, living in sin and rebellion, and I just felt like I was kind of damaged goods. So I was asking God, I said, God, I really want to serve you again, but I don't even know where to start. I don't know if you can still use me. And I said, but I just don't know where to start. And I'm riding down this glass elevator at this time and looking out to the street. And God said, start with them. And my eyes were locked onto this couple that was walking across the street, and they went over and sat in the the bus stop. And I was terrified. I was, you know, I was not used to really hearing God speak to me. And so I was like, what do you mean? You know, and I'm thinking, that wasn't God, that's just me. But I went outside for a break and was thinking, and I kept watching them around the corner, and they're still there. And this bus, I don't know how long this bus took to get there, but like, surely this bus will come. I went back into the building 3 times, and then I would go back out, and I knew God was speaking to me. But I was so terrified just to walk up to a stranger, and I didn't know what to say. But anyway, I finally went up to them, and I said, I never do this, but I really felt like God wanted me to come and talk to you guys. And I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? And they had just moved to Tulsa, I think the day before. They had no money, they had no jobs, they didn't know anybody. And they were so grateful that somebody came and prayed with them. And it wasn't a huge earth-shattering, you know, it didn't save their life. I didn't have money to give them, really. But to me, it was the first time in my life that I knew God wasn't done with me.
Amen.
So
that's powerful. So,
yeah.
So Laura, you had had this upbringing in a Christian background. You had had committed Christian parents trying to instill the biblical truths, but you struggled with your sexual identity.
Yeah.
You felt these longings in your, maybe in your 20s. Mm-hmm. You fully embraced the identity of transgender male.
Yeah.
I think in talking with you before, you called yourself Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And you had these new friendships and a new relationship, and the satisfaction still wasn't there.
Yeah.
In that discontent, God used that, and truth you began to hear to draw you back.
Yeah.
Talk about some of those relationships and your parents and what ultimately turned you out of the transgender male life back to embracing your God-given sexuality and your identity in Christ. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it probably started, I love the way that God revealed himself to me in all of this, because at sort of the pinnacle of all this, when I moved in with my partner at the time, his real name was Steve. He was a man living as a woman. So we were both transgender, and I think we really bonded over that. But I'm sure that just broke my parents' heart, not only am I transgender, but now I'm living with someone, and I think they just felt like they completely lost control. But that's it was really God's blessing, because I was marching the way of all the LGBT community, and 99% of the LGBT community is really radically liberal. And Steve was one of only two that I've ever met that were conservative. And politics aside, it really, what it did for me was it made me question the truth. And it was really the first time in my life that I thought about, what do I believe is the truth? And so the political debates that we used to have, and we would talk and discuss politics and things, but it really began a quest for truth, and that's where the love of talk radio started. And my parents and I were very distant at that point. I lived an hour away, but I rarely ever came home. I found every excuse I could to not come home. Didn't want to come home. I enjoyed when they would come see me for an hour maybe or so for dinner, but didn't want to be around them very long, and didn't want to be back in Bartlesville. I didn't want to be reminded of my past. I think that was a lot of it. I didn't want people to recognize me. And so the relationship was very strained. We didn't even talk much for the first few years. And I know that's the case with a lot of transgenders. I hear that a lot from parents. But I just want to encourage these parents that God drew me back. And it took several years, but God really drew me back slowly, and I can just see him kind of leading me along. Slowly, my mom and I began to bond over the Bible, and then my dad started coming and meeting me for lunch every day, and he was telling me about prophecies and different things and his love for the Bible, and he would meet me for lunch about every week or two, and so I began to really build these relationships. But it was funny, because one of the things that kind of started to turn me around was dad's all excited telling me about prophecy and telling me about the rapture and all these things, and I'm getting all excited, and then mom's telling me what she's teaching in her Bible study, and she's teaching about the judgment seat of Christ. And so I started really questioning, okay, wow, I'm really not ready to stand before Christ. As excited as I am to go into heaven and meet my Savior, I knew I wasn't ready. And I remember really clearly, because up at this point, I was still living as a man. I wanted to be a man of God. I wanted to be an evangelist, and I started sharing faith with all my friends at work and everything. But I remember very clearly God asked me if I stood before him, what name would he call me? And I remember it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I knew that God would know who I am. It's not like God didn't know who I was, but I was really afraid, what if he calls my name and I don't realize he's talking to me? Or what if, just that shame of, that's not really the name I was going by, and I knew that it was wrong. And it really began a turmoil over the next few months, just this internal struggle of, I know this is wrong, But I felt stuck. I didn't know what to do. No one, other than my family, no one knew I was transgender. You know, I was living, there are many that kind of live out in the open, everybody knows. But I lived very secretly. I didn't want anyone to know. And so I felt like I had no choice. And I kept praying and I said, God, it's not like I can just show up in a dress one day and say, just kidding, you know. I mean, I really didn't know what to do. But God just allowed me to have this internal struggle in it. I remember at one point, I heard a preacher. Well, for several weeks, there was a point where I was so convicted that this love I'd had for radio and for hearing preachers and the audio Bible that I'd had for years, all of a sudden I couldn't listen to any of it. I spent a couple of weeks and just turned it all off because I was so convicted. Every word I heard was just convicting. So I got so desperate, I started asking God to take my life because I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I had any choice. But I just felt like I had just messed this all up too badly and there was no answer. So I begged God to take my life for weeks. And eventually he convicted me so hard one night. I felt like I'd been hit in the chest with a sledgehammer. I just felt broken to pieces. And I really just kind of fell on my face on the floor. And I said, God, I've got to get out of this, but I don't know how. And I really just had no answers, but I remember I had this vision of Jesus kind of kneeling down on one knee next to me and reaching out his hand and just saying, do you trust me? And I remember I had nothing else at that point. So I said that I did, and I just sort of, in my mind, took his hand, and I knew that night it was going to cost me everything else. I knew I was going to have to leave the life that I'd built for myself, my job, and my partner that I'd spent almost 10 years with, that I loved. But at the same time, I knew that I couldn't stay in that lifestyle. I didn't know how he would change me, but I remember this verse is really what... this is what really changed my life and helped me to make that decision. This really became the sort of tipping point, I guess. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so I knew at that point that this wasn't about me, and it wasn't about the life that I wanted. It's about being obedient to Christ, and it's about the life that he wanted for me. So I didn't understand it all then. I never thought I would look like a girl again. I didn't have any clue what all this would look like. I knew I'd already had chest surgery and things, but I think at that point I was just determined to be obedient. And so I left Steve and I left everything that I had known, and I came home and moved home with Mom and Dad, and I didn't know how long I'd be here. I didn't know what that would look like, and the first few days were really, really rough. I felt like I had... I really felt like I had died almost. And really it was a dying to self. But that first Sunday when I came home, I was at church, and I was really supposed to... I had told them I was coming home on a Monday, but I decided to show up and surprise them on a Sunday. Came home a day early, but I couldn't handle it. I was so overcome with emotion, and I went back to Broken Arrow. I did have a couple of things I needed to pick up, but mostly I was scared, and I was kind of halfway regretting my decision. But I'll never forget, Steve opened the door, and this man that I had loved for almost 10 years just gave me a hug, and I felt like I was in the arms of a stranger. And I'm sitting in my apartment, and I feel like I'm in a hotel room. And God just told me very clearly he had cut the cord of my old life, and he said I was not going back. And so I knew that I had to stay at home. I had to trust him and walk by faith, because I didn't have anything else. I felt like I had nothing to fall on but to hold on to Christ. But little did I know how much that would change me. You know, over the next 3 days, I wept and cried more than I have in my entire life. I remember it was difficult even to unpack my suitcase. I would take one shirt out and just sob. It took me 2 days to unpack. Hmm. But Tuesday afternoon, my mom gave me some letters from some of the ladies in the Bible study that they had written to me, ladies I had never even met before. Notes of encouragement, and I sat there crying, and I remember, I was like, these ladies don't even know me. And not only had they written me cards, they'd taken up a collection to buy me a new wardrobe, and they'd collected over $1,200 for me, and I was just so overcome with their love. But it was one card in particular. I was really wrestling with the point, like, I can see their love, and I know I don't want to disappoint these ladies, but by Tuesday afternoon, I really couldn't handle it anymore, and I was like, I'm going back home. I'm going back to Tulsa. And but I picked up one particular card that she had been reading a Puritan prayer that morning, and she wrote part of it in this card, and it said, God forbid that I should make feeling a cause of faith, or how great is the sin if I make feeling a cause for faith, something to that effect. And I thought, you know, that's what I've been doing my whole life. I've been trying to make God fit my feelings instead of trusting him and being obedient to his word. And so I just set my mind that whatever I felt like didn't matter anymore, I had to be obedient to God. And that next morning when I went to Bible study, I was surrounded by these ladies, and I've never seen not only love and not just kindness, but true joy over a sinner coming home.
Wow.
And true excitement and so much love from these ladies like I'd never experienced in my life. I knew God was going to take care of me, and I realized that I didn't know what was up ahead, and I had to trust God. It's just been amazing since then, as he's taught me to walk by faith, what he's done in my life. Not only has he completely changed me, I understand those things now when it says you become a new creation. I'm not just new physically as I'm changing, but he has made me a truly new creation, and he's given me a new heart, and he's taken away all those desires and feelings I had. And so that's what I really want to encourage anyone that's struggling with these issues. This was never about what I felt. It was not about what my feelings didn't change. A lot of people have said, oh, you were never really this way to begin with. I had felt this way my whole life. But this was about denying feelings. This was, you know, denying that what the culture tells us of following your heart. No, this was about following Christ, following God's word. And he gave me a new heart, and he took all those feelings away. And now I don't struggle with those things.
That's an incredible testimony, Laura. We praise God for what he's done in your life and how he's with you even now,
yeah,
that you're able to look back and share this story of transformation. We're going to take a quick break, and then we have some other special guests to join Laura. Her parents are going to join, and we're going to hear their testimony and see how God worked all this together. Laura, I want to thank you for sharing that story, and just I want to praise God for what he's done in your life. We'll take a quick break.
The new free Messenger Go app allows you to stay engaged with Baptist Messenger content wherever you are. Read stories that you care about in the Baptist Messenger. Listen to new Insight podcasts. Or stay up to date with new blogs on Wordslingers, all from your personal smartphone. For more than 100 years, the Baptist Messenger has been telling the story of what God is doing through Oklahoma Baptist and reporting on what is happening in the world. Now we want to engage more people on a regular basis through their own convenience. God has given the gift of technology, and we hope to utilize it to share more good news of what God is doing in Oklahoma and across the world. Find the free Messenger Go app in the Apple and Google App Stores, or text the word MESSENGER to 33733 to receive a link to the free app.
And we're back. We're honored to be with the Perry family here. We have Francine and Paul with their daughter, Laura. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, hearing Laura tell her story, what is going on in your mind? What are some of the things God has put on your heart and in your mind as you hear that and reflect back on that?
I think for me, every time I hear her tell it, it almost seems like, did this really happen? You know, because the last year has been so joyful, but I'm reminded over and over again of God's faithfulness and how He does the stirring in the heart of individuals to draw them back. And it didn't matter really what I did, no preaching at her, nothing like that. It was God working in her that brought her back. I think that's answer to the prayers of parents.
Absolutely. And from hearing her talk and talking with you all a little bit, you kept the relationship connection going even when there was a strain, even when there was disagreement. Was that intentional, and what role did that play? Maybe, Paul, with those dinners you all had together.
In fact, to begin with, when we found out, you know, we actually told her, you know, that we couldn't support her lifestyle. And, you know, so when we realized that if there was no fellowship and no communication, you know, we couldn't have an influence. You know, we made each opportunity when we would have a chance to go to Tulsa, we would usually meet with her. And I had I have a lot of back trouble, and so I started going to a kind of a specialist there, and so I went numerous times, twice a week for quite a while, and then once a week, and then finally I would meet with her each time. I would make a point of being there, so she could eat with me, and we would talk and discuss, and that, I guess that was the main thing, is we never did, we tried strongly to not break the communication.
Keep the door open, because you never know when that call is going to come. Can I come home? And we wanted her to feel like it was a safe place with an open door.
Now, you all were established as leaders within the church, church pianist. You know, when something like this happens in a child strays in ways like this or other, there could be a temptation to want to hide everything. How did God change you through all of this? What changes did He do in your life?
The event that comes to my mind clearly was when she had called early on and wanted to come to church one day. And I was hoping she would not. Because at this point she was looking very male. A lot of the people did not know yet. And I didn't want them to know, but I knew she would be standing there with me and they'd want to know who it was. And so I was hoping she would not come. And so playing the piano at that time, I was sitting on the platform even during the service so I could scour the congregation, and I kept wondering if she was there, and I didn't recognize her, and all of a sudden my eyes landed on her, and God really slapped me with conviction that I was more concerned about what people would think about me and my child than for her to be there. And the sermon was on the prodigal. I learned that I just really surrendered everything to Him, and that I wanted, however this circumstance would evolve, that I wanted Him to receive glory, and that I really surrendered myself to Him then fully to work on my relationship with Him and let Him work on her.
Wow.
And I quit trying to fix her.
That's powerful. And every impulse as a parent would be to
fix you now.
Yes. I want each of us to talk about maybe what role prayer or the Word of God had in all of this. How did the role of prayer, how did the Scriptures, for each of you, have a profound impact throughout this whole process?
In my in my Bible reading, particularly, and there were some Scriptures, you know, about the prodigal son, and then that God would restore, you know, the lost years. And so I even marked that in my Bible, you know, that I claimed that promise for Laura.
Wow. It's powerful. Laura?
Well, I just, I know that their prayers are the reason that I'm sitting here. You know, I can see over the years how God just slowly led me. And it actually reminds me a lot of the book of Hosea. Actually, it was funny, I started studying Hosea when I first moved home. And it was the first time in my life that I really began to understand the heart of God, that I began to see myself as this adulterer in my relationship with God. And I'd gone off and sought my own things and sought the world. And when it talks about in Hosea, how he will hedge up her way with thorns and you know, basically strip all the things away that she's trying to satisfy her with. And that's what God did in me. It's like he took everything away. And yet I realized that God was the only thing that was going to satisfy. And so it has just made such a, it's built so much faith in me for me to have not, I felt like I had nothing but God. But that's exactly what I needed. I needed to learn that the things in life weren't going to satisfy. You know, that whatever lifestyle or whatever relationships, no one else could give me that contentment. It could only come from God. And so, especially the first few months when I was home was just life-changing for me. Because even though I had my mom and dad, we really were not that close at the time. And so I really felt very alone. And yet God really restored my relationship with him first. And then once that relationship was truly healed, then I began to have a much better relationship with my mom and dad. And so he's built that and restored that. I said early in the video that Steve was also transgender. And he was also living by another name and everything. He had never had surgeries. He kept putting it off. And I noticed about halfway through the time we lived together, so about 4 or 5 years in, I noticed that he wasn't, he didn't seem as excited about it anymore. He seemed dissatisfied, and he never really would talk about it. But I could see that even in him. And after I left, I really began praying for him, and I honestly never thought he would leave that lifestyle. I never thought, because I just figured he was like me. He was just stuck, and he was just going to stay that way. But about 3 or 4 months later, he left that lifestyle too, and he's had his name changed back, and he's now living as a man.
Wow.
And so I've seen God not only do it in my life, but in praying for him, I've seen God do it in him too.
Awesome. So. Francine, we heard about this ladies' prayer group or Bible study, and it appears that at some point you shared your struggle and others lifted it up to the Lord to you. How crucial was that, and what was that like?
I think it's been probably 6 years ago. God really led me to teach one Wednesday and just lay my testimony out on the table and just make it public and be very transparent. And that opened up a whole new relationship with the women. So women began to share with me. And when they could see someone, because at this time I was still in the depths of the circumstance and not knowing how it would ever end. And to see someone that God was giving victory in the circumstance, in the darkness, was very encouraging to them. So I began to be able to teach from, I'm experiencing all this. I'm experiencing God's victory in my life, even though I'm living in the pit. You know, and so a lot of the things were really becoming alive because I was a testimony of it, not just relating information and relating scripture. They all began to pray for Laura, always wanting to know, and I would give them little updates and everything. But when she came home, it was like a huge revival broke out in the Bible study. And out of her coming home, we have now started a prodigal prayer basket.
Wow.
And so we probably have, I'm going to guess, around 400 names that the ladies in the Bible study have. We've put names of like people like her, not necessarily that are transgender, but there's all kinds of reasons that we have children, adult children, spouses, whoever, that have walked away from the faith they once confessed. And that's what our prayer prodigal basket is. So it has become a real tangible thing that we have every week, and we pray specifically for the people. We call them in the box. And God is really blessed because we've had 5 people come out of the box. So every time we have someone come out, like Laura, you know, it's a time for celebration. So it's just energized the Bible study, and God has really blessed it.
I think that's awesome.
It is.
Well, Russell Moore talks about when families or when the church face something like this. Let's say a family has a child that says, I'm gay, or maybe I'm struggling with drugs or something. Take any issue. Mm-hmm. And there are 2 temptations. He says the one would be to cave in and to approve of whatever that child or family member is doing, to accommodate. The other temptation is to become so unkind and so cut off that it repels the person instead of reaching. And it seems like to me God kept you from making those errors and brought that around. How crucial was it that you didn't just cave in and say, we understand you made this choice, we will support you in that, and God bless you in that? And then how crucial was it not to be so harsh to where if there ever were a turn, there would be nowhere to come back to?
We always felt, that regardless, still our child, and so, we didn't want to alienate her, and so we just tried to keep the communications open, and knowing, too, what God's Word says, and so, we still, we're even supposed to love our enemies, so... loving our daughters should be easy. So we just made a point of, keeping the communication open. And like I say, we we'd sometimes look for a little excuse maybe to go to Tulsa and meet with her. And so I just, it was the Lord. It wasn't really us. So.
That's awesome. So if there's someone out there watching this and they're struggling in some area and you could speak one word or one thought into their life to give them some hope and encouragement. For each of you, or if any of you are willing to share that word, what would that thought or word be to you that God taught you that you would want them to walk away hearing today?
It's more than one word. I will just say the most, the event that just comes to my mind was one morning early when I was having my quiet time. Laura had indicated to me, I could see little glimmers of hope that she was coming along. And I began in my mind, the wheels just turning. I could do this and I could do that. And it was very clear to me. God spoke to my heart and He said, Francine, if you want to work on her, I'm not. If you want me to work on her, then you take your hands off and you work on your relationship with me. And if you seek me with all of your heart, I will work on her.
Amen.
And that's what I have learned through this whole thing. And I saw Him orchestrate something I could have never imagined. Paul and I both got involved in Bible studies, and not just going to the Bible study, but we were studying on our own. And we both were in the Word, and I learned about humbling yourself and what absolute surrender means. And as we were doing that, God was really working on her. And I would be given little glimmers of hope. And that's what I hope for all the, especially the moms and the dads, that if you have a child that is struggling and gone away from the Lord, I just prayed for our ladies last week that God would begin giving you little glimmers of hope. Just a little glimmer, because it's a lot to hang on to.
You know, when we frequently, well, daily, pray seriously and earnestly for someone, and especially a friend or a close relationship, and asking God to do this or do that or whatever, but He works on us just as well. And perhaps, you know, it probably increased our prayer life and our relationship with Christ just as much.
That's awesome.
I would say He used this whole thing to change all three of us.
Yeah. Laura, anything you'd like to add or say on that?
Yeah. For me, it's really the Word of God that changed me. I mean, people try all kinds of things and they try to force people, and it really was just the Word of God. And I remember reading the scriptures just started jumping out at me, like when it said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And Hebrews 11:6 is one of my favorites. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." And so again, this just goes back to, because I know what it's like to struggle with those feelings. I know what it's like to have that as your identity. It wasn't like walking away from drugs or cigarettes, and I had to do that too. I was a heavy smoker. But walking away from this identity, this person that I'd been for 10 years and really had thought about being my whole life. And, you know, I used to call myself Jake when I was very little. No one knew that, but I would just to myself, or I'd play video games and, you know, name my character that, various things. But I sort of always had that identity in my head. So this was a big thing for me. But it came down to faith. It came down to, was I going to trust God or was I going to trust my heart? When I was willing to take that step, I look back and I still don't know how I packed for, it took me a couple of weeks because I decided to stay at my job and finish so I didn't burn that bridge. And so it was, I think, almost 3 weeks between when I determined to come home and when I actually came home. But that whole time just packing and getting ready, and I still don't know how I went through it all and really came home and left Steve that day and watched him watch me drive away. And I saw the pain in his eyes, and I cried all the way to Bartlesville. I knew how much it was costing me. And looking back, it really was just God carrying me. It reminds me of that Footprints poem, you know, and I just... It was really just like that. It was like God just carried me through it. I was willing, but I didn't know where to step and how to make those steps. But somehow He just carried me through.
Wow. That's
she had powerful. Called me and she said, "Mom, I just don't feel like a female." And I remember telling her, "If you are obedient and take the step, the feelings will come."
That's awesome. Now, it's been more than a year since baptized and joined the church membership there, and, you know, the reconciliation with your family, and you were very kind to share your story with the Baptist Messenger. Mm-hmm. We printed an article several months ago. Mm-hmm. What has He done recently? What are some opportunities to share that you've had, either personally or in other settings? And just what all has God done since you've brought this story into light?
Well, God has done some amazing things throughout the year. Just my personal relationship with Christ has just grown so much, and I've developed so much faith. I've really learned to trust God. I've seen Him be so faithful, not only in my own life, but also as I've been in a pretty hardcore discipleship group this year, and seeing God faithful through His Word has really changed my attitude toward my Word and toward God, because I've seen Him be faithful over and over and over. And He's given me some amazing opportunities. One of my favorites, I got to speak at the Oklahoma Wesleyan University Chapel recently. Mm-hmm. And that's been such an exciting connection, because Everett Piper, the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, was really instrumental in me considering my ways, because he would he was a guest on a radio program that I used to listen to all the time. And over and over and over, he kept talking about how we are not just made up of our feelings and our instincts and our inclinations. And he would say, that would just make us animals. And I used to think about that. And that was such a revolutionary thought to me. No one had ever, because you always hear in the culture, you need to follow your heart and you need to be true to who you are. And I had never really considered the fact that I could choose my behavior despite my feelings. And I listened to him for months. It took me a long time, but he kept banging the same drum, and that kept eating at me. And I remember just thinking of that over and over. And I knew it was the truth. And despite the fact that he wasn't ever hateful toward transgenders, but he was speaking out against it and saying this is sin and this is wrong. And yet God kept drawing me to that program so much. And I couldn't wait for that program to come on every Friday. Because it was like drinking from a fresh water source when you've been drinking the mud out of the out of a dirty river, and it was so refreshing. So I want to encourage people, when you have opportunities to speak truth into someone's life, you know, we can always plant seeds, and there may be you never know what those seeds are doing out there. So we need to be telling the truth, and it is a dark, dark culture right now. And so much of the church is caving in and trying to not hurt people's feelings. But people that avoided my feeling or avoided hurting my feelings, none of them ever changed me. It was the Word of God and the truth that changed me.
That's awesome. Good word. Well, thank you all. We're out of time for this episode. It's been a real joy to have the Perry family on this edition of Messenger Insight.
Thank you.
Laura, we admire your courage. Your life, your testimony, your words of wisdom are really inspirational to me, and I know many who will see this. And Francine and Paul, we appreciate your friendship and coming on to share today. So the Baptist Messenger will be following what God does in your life. And read that article on BaptistMessenger.com. Thank you, Perry family, once again.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.